Welcome to the Leadership in Context podcast with Keith Tusey. If God said to fill the earth, then he is big enough to sustain the earth.
Hi, this is Keith Tusey, and welcome to Leadership in Context. We are helping believers live out kingdom life in the context of the culture and their local church. We've been talking about child prevention, alias birth control. And I've challenged people to be thinking about this process, not just reacting to it. You know, I was with a group of leaders the other day, and I made the statement, the less we think, the more we feel. And they were like, wow, that's just so clear. In other words, the less we learn to think, the more we rely on our feelings. And so when you bring up subjects like this, that we've not adequately considered. Forget arriving at a conclusion, because some of you are jumping ahead of me, but just thinking through the process so that we're not a people that are dependent on our emotions. And what could be more emotional, and rightly so, than the issue of sexuality and sexual pleasure? So when we talk about child prevention or wanting to have sex but not wanting to have children, of course, we're talking about the confines of marriage. But, you know, we really should bring up the fact that the birth control revolution going back to the 60s especially, which is, you know, just, you know, not that old, what, 65 years we've had kind of over-the-counter pharmaceuticals, again, that not only stop pregnancy, but kill very little conceived baby boys and baby girls. And so any type of a chemical that we're putting into our body that changes its natural use, according to Romans 1, that's an arguably something that a Christian should not be participating in. And it amazes me how many genuine Christians who love Jesus are putting something into the body with no idea what they're putting into it. And rightly so, that's why many of us rejected COVID pills and injections, was because we had no idea what we were putting into our body. And of course, we still don't, but that's a whole nother thought here. But I'm trying to provoke you to really think through the process and have, you know, conversations about this. These are deep conversations that my wife and I, Penny, had many, many years ago when we began to arrive at the same conclusion that it was not our body and it was not our choice. That is the mantra of death. That's the chant of death. I get to do with my body what I want. I totally reject that. I do not get to do with my body what I want to do with my body. It is not my own. It belongs to God. It's been bought with a price. And in a marriage covenant, my body's not my own either. So both parties obviously have got to work this out. You know, I had a bunch of kind of sophisticated things I was going to read to you from various authorities, but I thought, you know, I don't want to try to overwhelm you with information. I just want to really appeal to your heart and get you to think in a big picture. None other than Theodore Roosevelt made this statement: birth control is the one sin for which the penalty is national death and race death, the sin of which there is no atonement. So he understood that. Sigmund Freud, of all people, said that if we are seeking sexual pleasure or sex for the attainment of pleasure with no consideration of procreation, then that is perverse. That's sexual perversion. Oh my goodness. Gandhi was very, very anti birth control because he thought it took away the dignity of a man's responsibility toward a woman. And I think that's what a lot of the birth control generation has done. It's really put women in a much more vulnerable situation, and they are the ones that, of course, bear the consequences. And then you get into, I mean, honestly, if you are a believer, whatever theological persuasion you come from, if you're a Calvinist, if you're a Methodist, if you come from a congregational background, a Presbyterian background, whatever background you come from, the leaders, the fathers of those groups were all against birth control and spoke about it before it was ever even popular, because they understood, in their opinion, and I agree, that just to do it is a heathen practice. Augustine made this statement. He said, those who use birth control are called to no vestige of a commitment to a marriage. He said, Luther said it was villainous. Wesley Calvin said the same type of things. They understood that this could become the breakdown of a natural affection and the structure of a home. And again, we're not dealing with, I have to have babies if I'm married. I'm gonna cover that. I'm gonna get to that probably in the next podcast, because there's some other considerations here that we need to think about. You're not forced just to be a baby making machine, but we do need to consider what our parts have been made for, and the blessing of the union of marriage, the benefit of it is children. And children, by the way, are always called blessed. Isn't that amazing? And you know, there is the in scripture over 20 times it says that God opens and closes the womb. Okay, so we've got to have faith that God is in control of our bodies, and that sexual intimacy in the act of marriage is something that God oversees. Now, people say, well, wouldn't we just keep having babies? You know, ironically, if you look back in history where there was no birth control that was even available, our records show that the average family had about 5 children, okay? Now, some families obviously had more and some obviously had less. But here's a question to ask yourself. If you go back to your grandparents, look on either side of their family, and what number child were they? You're going to find very few families that had less than 5 children, okay? So in other words, you and I wouldn't be here if somebody along that line didn't have more children than that. And who knows, you know, what legacy we're squandering by not being willing and even saying, God, you know, it's not my body, it's not my choice. What is your will for me? And how do I handle these incredible decisions about my sexuality and procreation related to birth control? And again, that's only in the context of marriage that I'm speaking at, because that's the only valid one. Now, there are people that would say, well, you know, the world would be overrun. You know, that's the Malthusian school of thought, that the earth cannot keep up with the population. Well, supposedly we just hit 8 billion, okay? And we farm less ground today with 8 billion people than we did in 1950. How could that be? Well, because of technology, because of science, because of transportation. We produce food at a much higher level because of science and fertilization and knowing when to plant and when to harvest and the machinery we have and the packaging we have and the transportation we have. And so that the earth is full. The earth will sustain whatever population. Most people say that only 2% of the arable land that we could plant is actually being used to produce food. Only 2% of the earth's surface is being used to feed 8 billion people. People say, well, what about people that are starving? Well, in those cases, and there are people that are going hungry. In those cases, that is not an agricultural problem. That is a government problem. It's tyranny. It's civil war. It's communism. It's socialism taking away the right of those people. And in those cases, people are not dying of starvation, but they are malnourished. Almost all starvation, any measurable starvation on the planet right now, has to do with other sicknesses, primarily diarrhea from bad water, so that the body cannot sustain and cannot renew itself. It's not just the lack of protein or the lack of nutrition, but the fact that there is massive dehydration going on that, in fact, that's what the person dies of. There are malnutrition issues. And if you trace them, you'll find out they are a political problem. We are able to produce food right now in an astonishing way that is beyond anybody's comprehension, even many years ago. So that is not the problem. And we still see vast areas of the earth that are just about completely unpopulated with very little population. And actually, that becomes a problem too, because you've got to have enough people to have synergy to do reproduction as far as food services and farming and those type of things. So you want groups of population where everybody migrates to one place. We have more populations living in cities by far than we've ever had, which is okay. They can sustain themselves. But then when there are very thin population bases spread throughout a large amount of geography, it's hard for them to feed themselves because of the amount of labor and human synergy and cooperation it takes, and the wealth it takes to use the science, to use the transportation, to purchase the machinery, those type of things. So the idea of the earth not supporting itself is a lie. Right from the beginning, God said, be plentiful and fill the earth. I think God is able to sustain the earth. That is a lie against the earth. And the Malthusians, they believed in, the thinning of the herd, the survival of the fittest, and the supreme races that would dominate over other races, things like that, that the people that didn't survive, that was because they weren't smart enough to survive. So it's a very merciless worldview. We believe the Bible teaches that children are a blessing, and children are one of the things you get to have in marriage you can't have outside of marriage. It's not my body. It's not my choice. So I've got to examine the scriptures, and I've got to start thinking, not just feeling. And remember, the chief reason that many believers do not have children is the same reasons that women abort children. Well, it's going to interfere with my vocation. It's going to interfere with my education. It's going to affect my family life. It's going to affect my independence. It's going to affect my lifestyle. I don't have the money. Those are dangerous arguments because they all put a price on a child's life. And Jesus already settled that issue by putting the price for us. Hey, this is Keith Tusey. I'm glad you're thinking with me. I encourage you to really plug in and process this, because this really begins to define a real part of our redemption. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The less we think, the more we feel. The less we learn to think, the more we rely on our feelings. We need to learn to think through things so we aren't dependent on our emotions. Thanks for listening this week to another episode of Leadership in Context with Keith Tusey. Join us next week as Keith continues to equip believers to lead in every area and venue of life. As always, subscribe, like, rate, and share our podcast. To contact Keith or ask him a question, email podcast@nrpastors.com. If you would like more information, you can check out our website, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram @nrpastors. See you next week.